Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So, last week, and as most of you know, my family and I, we were up in Fort Worth so that I could officiate the wedding for one of the former students from my time as a youth pastor. And so we made that glorious drive both up and back down Highway 35. Now, if you've been driving for long, or even if you have paid attention as a passenger, then you know that when you look to the side of the road, you see mile markers. And these mile markers along the road, they tell you how far you've gone, and they can also tell you how far you have to go. So mile markers, they actually date back to Roman times. In fact, in Latin, the word that was used for these mile markers meant 1,000 paces. And so these mile markers were placed at these intervals so that passerbys could keep track of their distance as they were traveling. But these mile markers, they weren't these little green and white signs that we're familiar with today. They were actually made of stone, and numbers were carved into them. And so they weren't called mile markers, they were called milestones. So this morning, we are at a milestone. And so here at the start of my message, I want to take just a moment to look back at where we've been, how far we have come, and how far we have left to go. So if you remember, back in June, we had a big fellowship meal, and I cast a vision for raising finances for this new youth and children's building. And over the last couple of months, I have asked you to do a few things. I've asked you to pray, to commit, and to sacrificially give, that the Lord would lead you in what you would give towards this building. And as part of this vision, I also laid out a plan for raising these finances, a timeline for raising them, and also a timeline for building this building. And so what I want to do right now is I just want to remind you of this stair-step plan that I gave out back in June and on Sunday morning after that. And so we're still at this first step, and as you see, that first step really is the biggest step, totaling $475,400 needed for that first step. Now, how did we get to this stair-step plan? So let me just give you a little bit of detail. So Lynn Ray West, the chairman of the Youth and Children's Building Committee, he actually gave me the estimated cost of all of the items that we would need to build this building. And so I grouped those items into categories that seem to fit best together and put together this stair-step plan so that we could have a timeline to raise these funds, but also so that we could have a timeline to build the building. And so as we see this first step, $475,400 needed. Before we even began raising funds, we already had received $85,000 to go towards the Youth and Children's Building. And then the church voted to use $155,000 of undesignated funds that we had in savings to go towards the building. And then in our last family meeting, the church voted to use $17,000 to go towards the, this was $17,000 of undesignated memorials that had been given to go towards the Youth and Children's Building as well. So after that $85,000 and $155,000, that's how we got to the $235,400 left to raise for step one. And so then we had that $17,000 that we voted on to contribute to that as well. And then over the last couple of months, many of you have prayed, you have committed, you have sacrificially given. And so far, as of today, or as of last Sunday, I should say, we have raised, through your gifts, an additional $112,000. Yeah. It's amazing. And so that puts us at around $369,000 already raised for this youth and children's building, which is amazing. It is astounding. Now, I realize that this $369,000, it's not that $475,000, $400,000 goal that I had set for step one. So I want to give you a couple of encouragements this morning. First, as we think about the overall cost of the building, which is $850,000, as we think about the cost for this building, with the $369,000 that we have already to go towards this building, as we think about this in terms of milestones or mile markers, we are almost to the halfway mark, which is amazing. So we only require now $481,000 to finish raising these funds and to be able to have everything we need to build this youth and children's building. But here's the second encouragement, and this is a big encouragement. While there are still a few things that we need to raise money for everything in step one, the $369,000 that we have so far is enough for us to lay the foundation. Yeah. And so this is where we're at right now. We are going to set a date for a groundbreaking ceremony and celebration, and we are going to begin working on laying that foundation. And so this is an exciting time here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. And so with all of that said, as we think about how far we have gone, but also, right, we recognize the work's not done yet. There's still more money to raise. There's still a lot to do in order for the building to be completed. But as we think about how far we've gone and how far we have left to go, what I want us to do this morning is take time to pray. And I want us to first pray and thank the Lord for how far He has already brought us. I mean, if we think about this, this was just in June that we laid out this timeline. And in 2 months' time, a month and a half time, we already have that $112,000 additionally given. And so I want to thank the Lord for how He has provided. I want to thank the Lord for how He has given already. But I also want to ask the Lord to continue to guide us. I want us to ask the Lord to continue to be with us, to continue to provide for us, because we want our focus to remain not on ourselves, not on our own strength, not even on our own finances. We want our focus to remain wholeheartedly on the Lord and His strength, because we believe that it is the Lord that is going to build our future. And so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to kneel down right here at the altar, and if anyone would like to come and join me to kneel down with me, I'm going to give you some time to get down here. So we'll take a moment of just silent prayer. Give you a chance to come and join me if you desire. You can certainly pray right where you're at. But then I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then we'll continue. So if you'd like to join me, now is the time to come. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we are at this milestone today, Lord, I am amazed. Lord, and I'm not amazed at the work of our hands. I am amazed at the work of Your hands. Lord, we recognize that You are the one that is providing. You are the one that is taking care of us. And so, Lord, we rejoice in You. We give thanks to You. Lord, we are so thankful for all that You have done already. As we have prayed, as we have committed, as we have sacrificially given, Lord, we have seen Your hand of provision here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. And so we thank You for that. But Lord, we also recognize that there's still a ways to go. Lord, we celebrate that we get to lay that foundation. But Lord, we don't want to just lay the foundation. We want the whole building to be built, Lord. And so we ask that You would continue to be with us, that You would continue to guide us, that You would continue to provide, Lord. Lord, we are trusting You. Lord, this is a feat that is bigger than ourselves. And so, Lord, we are looking to someone bigger than ourselves to take care of us in this. We are looking to You, Lord. And so we just trust You in this. As we've trusted You so far, Lord, we continue to trust You. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we celebrate today. We love you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. So this morning, we are launching into a new series titled, Think Carefully About Your Ways. Think Carefully About Your Ways. And as we begin this series, I want us to view this as a milestone. Not simply in building this building, but also in how far the Lord has taken us and how far He is going to continue to take us as we go through our sermon series this year. So if you remember, back in January, I cast a vision for us centered around one word. That vision was centered around the word faithful, that we would be a faithful people in all things at all times until it's all over. And we began this year with a reminder of our call to be faithful in our mission here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, to love, to grow, to serve, and to go. Then we talked about being faithful in prayer. And so we talked about prayer through our sermon series, Conversations. As we moved into the Easter season, we looked at the cast of Easter. And as we looked at the cast of Easter, we saw some faithful individuals and we saw some not so faithful individuals. And we asked ourselves, which cast member do we most align with? Then we moved into a series in the book of James. And as we walked through the book of James, we saw how the book of James really is a call for us to walk in faithfulness, that we wouldn't just talk the talk of faithfulness, but that we would walk the walk of faithfulness. And then last week, Palmer wrapped up our series in the book of Revelation titled Dear Church. We were looking at the seven letters written to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. I've heard so many great things about Palmer's message. I listened to the message as well. I agree, it was an awesome message. He did a great job. But as we went through that series, we asked ourselves, which letter would we receive? What letter would God have for our church? And so as we look back at how far we have traveled this year, I want you to see how everything has tied together with that call to faithfulness. And as we move into this series in the book of Haggai, I want you to understand God is still calling us to be faithful. This call to faithfulness has not ended. We are continuing to be called to walk in faithfulness to the Lord. So let me just remind you of this vision one more time, that we would be a faithful people in all things, at all times, until it's all over. And I believe that God has uniquely and intentionally put this series on the calendar for us for such a time as this. Because the book of Haggai is really dealing with the temple needing to be completed, needing to be built. Now, this may be hard for you to believe, so you're just going to have to take my word for this. But as we think about the timing of this sermon series, the timing of this series, and where we are with the youth and children's building was not intentional on my part. So it was actually back in November of last year that I went to Rockport, stayed in a condo, got away from the busyness of my normal schedule, and I planned out my entire preaching calendar for this year. So when I returned, I had everything from January to December of this year mapped out, my whole preaching calendar. And so back in November of last year, when I went on that trip to plan the sermon series, just based on the meetings that we were having with the Youth and Children's Building Committee, based on those meetings, we were planning at that time to have this big vision meeting that we had in June. We were planning on having that much earlier in the year. And so I honestly thought that we were going to be further along in the process when it comes to August than we actually are right now. Now, that's okay, but just so you know, right, I thought that we were going to be further along. So honestly, when I was putting this on the sermon calendar, I really was not thinking about the Youth and Children's Building or where we were going to be in the year. I just simply put on the calendar what I believe that the Lord was having me to preach for this year. And so as I approach this sermon series with you today, August 13th, 2023, I firmly believe that God has something that he wants to speak to each and every one of us through this sermon series, as we think about our call to faithfulness, but also as we think about our call to build this new youth and children's building. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Haggai chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9 this morning. Haggai 1, 1 through 9. Now, as you're turning there, let me just quickly set this up for you. The book of Haggai was written in the year 520 BC. So in 536 BC, 16 years earlier, the people of God had begun to rebuild the temple. But in 534 BC, 2 years later, all efforts had stopped. And so now 16 years had passed, and the temple still sat there incomplete. And so God sent Haggai as a prophet to speak to the people, to call them to do what he had already called them to call them to complete what he had called them to. So with that in mind, let's read our passage, Haggai 1, 1 through 9. It says, "In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. The Lord of armies says this, 'These people say the time has not come for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt.' The word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, 'Is it a time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins?' Now the Lord of armies says, 'Think carefully about your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough to be satisfied. You drink but never have enough to be happy. You put on clothes but never have enough to get warm. The wage earner puts his wages into a bag with a hole in it.' The Lord of armies says this, 'Think carefully about your ways. Go up into the hills, bring down lumber and build the house. And I will be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You expected much, but then it amounted to little. When you brought the harvest to your house, I ruined it. Why? This is the declaration of the Lord of armies, because my house still lies in ruins while each of you is busy with his own house." So, as we walk through this passage this morning, I want you to see three things that the Lord speaks to the people through the prophet Haggai. The first thing we see the Lord address is a problem of priorities. A problem of priorities. Let's look at verse 4 again. It says, "Is it a time for you to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins?" So that word paneled isn't referring to wall coverings that we're familiar with in older homes or even in parts of this church building. Right? That word paneled is actually referring to having a roof on the house. It's the idea that the people had completed their houses from bottom to top, yet they did not complete the temple. In other words, they had elevated their own personal comfort above their calling from the Lord. And that's a dangerous place to be in, when we elevate our own comfort above our calling from the Lord, when we elevate our own desires above the Lord's desires. Now listen, they may have said that they love the Lord. They may have said that they prioritize the Lord. They may have said God first, family second, country third. God, family, country, right? That may have been their motto. They may have said that they prioritize their Lord, but their actions revealed the truth. So I want to give you this truth this morning. Our actions reveal the truth of our priorities. Hear that again. Our actions reveal the truth of our priorities. So back when Sarah gave birth to Ethan, we brought him home and we created a schedule so that both of us could get sleep in the night. And so we were going to take turns, be on intervals, for us to take turns getting up to feed Ethan, to change his diaper, to do what needed to be done when he cried in the night. So what I'm about to tell you, I actually have no recollection of. All right, this is all according to Sarah. All right. So we were in bed and I was dead asleep, and it was my turn, my interval, to get up with Ethan to change his diaper. And so Ethan began crying, supposedly. And I did not react or respond. I just kept on sleeping. And so Sarah said to me, "Do you want me to change his diaper?" To which I responded, supposedly, "It would be nice if you would try." And I'm still alive today. Now, we get a good laugh about that right now. But, you know, I guess I was so tired, I was in such a dead sleep that my body decided it had a greater priority than waking up to change Ethan's diaper. You see, it didn't matter what I said to Sarah. It didn't matter the schedule that we had set. It didn't matter anything that I had said. I want to give you some sleep. I want to help change his diaper. It didn't matter anything that I said. My actions revealed the truth of my priorities, and clearly my priority was more sleep, right? Our actions reveal the truth of our priorities. And so because God understands this truth about us as humans, because he created us, that our actions reveal the truth of our priorities, we see God speak these words to the people in verse 5. He says, "Think carefully about your ways." Now we're going to see this phrase again in verse 7, but this time when God says this phrase, when God says, "Think carefully about your ways," God is saying, look at your current actions and examine your priorities. And then in verse 6, we see God list off these priorities. It's as if God is saying, think carefully about your ways, and these are the ways that I want you to think carefully about. You see, it was clear from the way they spent their time, their money, their resources, that their priorities had become misplaced. God was not their priority. They may have said that God was their priority, but it was clear that God was not their priority. They made themselves and their own personal satisfaction their priorities. What God was revealing to them was really a truth that we see Jesus say in Matthew 6:21, which tells us, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You see, as humans, this is just the truth about us. Where and how we invest our time and our finances and our resources, it reveals the priority of our heart. And unfortunately, because of the culture that we live in, the culture does not help us. Because the culture will tell us that the most important thing that we can chase after is a title, an award, or an accolade. The most important thing that we can pursue, according to the world, is a nicer car, a bigger house, or a cushy bank account. You see, the world is going to tell us to pursue worldly things. But unfortunately, if worldly things is what we have prioritized, then sadly, our priorities have become misplaced. And so I would ask you today, where are your priorities? Because here's the truth, misplaced priorities never satisfy. This is exactly what what the Lord was pointing out in verse 6 through the prophet Haggai. We eat, but we never have enough. We drink, but we never have enough. We buy clothes, but we never have enough. And as soon as money comes into our pockets, it's right back out the door. We never have enough. Misplaced priorities never satisfy. And so I would ask you this morning, would you allow for God to speak these words into your heart through his word this morning? Think carefully about your ways. Now, I say this very humbly to you, and I'm not pointing any fingers at you except this one to myself, right? Because I recognize that if I examine my own heart, if I examine my own life, there are still areas of my own life that need to be refocused. There are still areas of my own life that need to be examined and reprioritized. But as you examine your own life, if you would allow God to speak those words, think carefully about your ways into your own heart, If there are areas that you see need to be refocused, reprioritized, my prayer would be is that you would allow God to do that. And maybe, just like the Israelites, you need to refocus your finances, or you need to refocus your time and resources so that the priority of your heart can be refocused as well. So first, we see a problem of priorities. Second, we see a prescription of sacrifice. A prescription of sacrifice. Let's read verses 7 and 8 again. It says, "Think carefully about your ways. Go up into the hills, bring down lumber, and build the house, and I will be pleased with it and be glorified." So this is the second time that we see that phrase, "Think carefully about your ways." And this time, God is not telling them to examine their current actions. Rather, he is giving them an opportunity to change their actions. And the change that God is prescribing to them is sacrifice. They're going to go into the hills to begin bringing down lumber. That's going to take their time. It's going to take their energy. But it's also going to take their resources. That lumber could be used to be sold, or it could be used to build other things. But God is saying, use your time, your energy, and your resources for me. Go and get the lumber and bring it down to begin finishing the house of God. And so by doing so, two things are going to be accomplished. Not only is the house of God, the temple, going to be accomplished, but also their hearts were going to be refocused. Now, I want to be clear that God's desire for the temple to be built is not because God dwells in a building, right? God's presence is not confined to a box. In fact, as we see in the New Testament, because of Jesus Christ, because of his death on the cross, right, access has been granted to the Father. The veil was torn. We are able to access the Father wherever we might find ourselves. But I want you to hear me. As God calls the Israelites to begin using their resources to build this building, I want you to understand, many times God uses the physical to do something spiritual in our lives. Many times God uses the physical to do something spiritual in our lives. The perfect example of this is in Jesus Christ coming into this world. Because of our sin, because of our corruption, because of our own wayward hearts, we as humans are separated from God. But God did something physical to address that spiritual separation. God sent Jesus into this world to die on the cross for your sins and for mine, that anyone who would call on his name would be saved. God used the physical to do something spiritual in our lives. And so by commanding the Israelites to sacrifice their time, their resources, their efforts to rebuild the temple, God was doing a work in their hearts to refocus their priorities. God used the physical to do something spiritual in their lives. And I believe that that is exactly what the Lord wants to do in our church today through this building project. Certainly, there is a big physical need. We have a growing youth and children's ministry. As we think about our children's ministry, we saw 18 kids give their lives to Christ at Vacation Bible School. We saw 31 students go to youth camp, and one of those students give their life to Christ. And so we have a growing youth and children's ministry. We definitely need more space. The youth and children's building is going to address that physical need, but I don't believe that God only wants to do something physical here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. I believe that God wants to do something spiritual in each of our lives and in this church as we build this building as well. Because as we continue to seek the Lord, as we continue to pray, as we continue to commit, as we continue to give, God is going to continue to stretch us, and we are going to grow in our faith. We are going to grow in our walk with Christ. In other words, we are going to be stronger on the other side of this building project in our faith than we were when we first began. God wants to use the physical to do something spiritual in our lives. So we see the problem of priorities. We see the prescription of sacrifice. Finally, we see a promise of his presence. Jump over to verses 12 and 13 with me. This is the response of the people to God after he has called them to obedience. And then we see God's promise as well. So verses 12 and 13, it says, "Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the entire remnant of the people obeyed the Lord their God and the words of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. So the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, delivered the Lord's message to the people, 'I am with you.' This is the Lord's declaration." So as God saw the misplaced priorities of the Israelites, as he gave them this prescription of sacrifice, we see that he also gave a promise of his presence to them, that he would be with them in their obedience. And so I want you to be reminded of this truth today. God is with us in our obedience. There's not a single time in Scripture that we see God call someone to do something and then he leaves them to do it in their own strength. Rather, throughout the Old Testament with the Israelites and throughout the New Testament with Christ's followers, anytime God calls his people to do something, he always promises and provides his presence with them. It's never about us. It's always about him and his strength. God is with us in our obedience. And so as God has called us to build this new youth and children's building, I firmly believe that the reminder that God wants to give us today here at First Baptist Church Stockdale are these four words right here: I am with you. God has not called us to build this building alone. What's this tagline that we've been using for this building project? Trusting God to build our future. We are not looking to ourselves. We are not looking to our own strength. We are looking to the Lord and his strength to accomplish the task that he has set before us. And so as we continue to look to him, as we continue to look to his strength as the foundation is poured, and as we look to him for his strength as we continue to raise these funds, we recognize that God is going to do a work in our hearts, in our church, and I believe he's also going to do a work in this community as he does a work in our own hearts. So the prescription for misplaced priorities is sacrifice, but God's promise is his presence with us. But I want you to hear me today. We've been talking a lot about this building this morning, but if you are here and you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord, I want you to understand the call for you this morning is not to join us in a building project. That will do nothing for your salvation. If you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord, the first thing that you need to do is focus your heart 100% on him. Allow Jesus Christ to be your one and only priority. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing, this is going to be your opportunity to respond to the Lord's work today. And if you're here and you would say, "That's me, I've never trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord, but I recognize that he did die for my sins, that he did rise again, and today I want to put my trust wholeheartedly in him." If that's you, then as we sing, I would invite you to respond. I'm going to be standing right down front. You can join me down here. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you, as you gain this new priority, a new focus on Jesus Christ today. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, "You know what, I'm a believer, but if I'm honest, there are areas in my life that need to be refocused." Join the club, all right? Everyone probably has something that needs to be refocused in their life. And so if you would say that you need to refocus your heart, listen, you can do that right where you're at, but if you need someone to pray with you, then I'd love to do that. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, "I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism to publicly profess Jesus Christ as Lord. We have had so many baptisms here this year. It is such an exciting time. We have like 7 or 8 still to be scheduled this year. But if you need to get your baptism on the schedule, then I'd love to talk with you as well. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know that God is calling me to join this church body, to become a member here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, to be on mission with this church body. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments as we sing this song, I would invite you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.